He touched his hat to us and gave me a broad wink. "Wish you good night, sir. And you, ma'am." I thought the German would have an apoplexy, he looked so wild, and his temper was not helped by the lovely Rosanna's helpless laughter. He stood, glaring at her for a moment, biting his lip, and then she controlled herself sufficiently to say, "Oh, come along. I shall get into the coach. Oh, dear, oh, dear." And she began laughing again. "I am happy you are amused," says he. "You make a fool of me. It is of a piece with your conduct of this evening." He looked thoroughly vicious. "Very good, madam. Perhaps you will regret it." "Don't be so pompous, Otto," says she. "It's just a joke. Come and—" "I prefer choicer company," says he. "That of ladies, for example." And clapping on his hat, he stepped back from the carriage door.
"Oh, the devil fly away with you, then," cried she, suddenly angry. "Whip up, driver."
And then I had to open my mouth. Leaning across her, I called to him.
"How dare you talk so to a lady, damn you," says I. "You're a foul-mouthed foreign dog."
I believe if I'd kept silent, he would have forgotten me, for his temper was concentrated on her. But now he turned those cold eyes on me, and they seemed to bore like drills. For a moment I was frightened of the man. He had murder on his face.
"I shall remember you," says he.
And then, oddly, I saw a look of curiosity come into his eyes, and he stepped a pace closer. Then it was gone, but he was memorizing me and hating me at the same time.
"I shall remember you," he said a second time, and the coach jerked forward and left him standing by the gutter.
In spite of the momentary fear he had awakened in me, I didn't give a button for his threats. The danger was past, I'd recovered my breath, and I could devote my attention to the important question of the beauty alongside me. I had time to examine the splendour of her profile, the broad brow and raven-black hair, the small, ever-so-slightly curved nose, the pouting red cupid's bow, the firm little chin and the white round breasts pushing themselves impudently up from the red satin gown. The scent of her perfume, the sidelong look of her dark blue eyes, and the wanton husky Irish voice were all invitations. As anyone will tell you, put Harry Flashman next to a woman like that, and one of two things is inevitable. There'll either be screams and slaps, or the lady will surrender. Sometimes both. In this case, just from the look of her, I knew there'd be no screaming and slapping, and I was right. When I kissed her, it was only a moment before her mouth opened under mine, and I promptly suggested that since my leg was still painful, a woman's touch on it would soothe the cramp out of my muscles. She complied very teasingly, and with her free hand was remarkably skilful at fending off my advances until the coach reached her house, which was somewhere in Chelsea. By this time I was in such a state of excitement that I could barely keep my hands still while she dismissed her maid and conducted me to her salon, talking gaily about anything and acting the cool minx. I soon put a stop to that by popping her breasts out the minute the door was closed and bearing her down onto the settee. Her reaction was startling. In a moment she was grappling with me, digging her nails into me and twining her limbs round mine. The fury of her love-making was almost frightening. I've known eager women, plenty of them, but Miss Rosanna was like a wild animal.